You know, I mentioned that I wanted us to focus first on God's ways of communicating to us, conveying information to us. But I tell you what, since we have a two-way conversation going here, let's go ahead and look at this whole notion of communicating with God. And remember, we started off verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Started out with the words, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." Abram said, and so Abram is now responding to God. He's not, you know, addressing so much, you know, shield, but how about reward? And how about this? It's not that Abram is being ungrateful, but he's a little confused. "You're going to make me into a great nation." You can best believe Abram remembered that God had said that. Now, even if God had not said that, true enough, especially in that culture, in that time, Abram would have wanted a son like most families, not just the men, but the wives too. Most families would have wanted that bloodline to continue. So they rejoice when they have a daughter. Sure enough, rejoice when they have a son. Son, continue the family line. Extend that family tree. Keep the generations going. But especially in Abram's case, he had been promised by God, whom he did not see as being just a big man. He had been promised by God that he would be made into a great nation. And listen to what he says. "What can you give me since I remain childless? You have given me no children." Abram understood that children come from God. God gives children. Verse 3, Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." How did the Lord respond? One of the things I want us to look at, because again, now we're talking about communicating with God. If there's something about our communication, us, the way we're communicating to God, that's off, there are times when he will let us know, wait a minute, hold up. He'll correct our thinking. Remember how when Jesus told his disciples he was going to be abused and killed, and Peter turned and said, "Never will that happen." And the Lord Jesus looked at him and the rest of the disciples, and then he told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things of God, but the things of men." He corrected Peter. There were times when one of his disciples, let's just look at Peter again, asked permission to walk on the water to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the water during that storm. And the Lord Jesus said, "Come." Peter was doing fine for a while. Then, as we know, he began to sink when the storm became boisterous again. He cried out to the Lord Jesus to save him. The Lord Jesus reached down, saved him, got him in the boat. The Lord Jesus got himself in the boat. And he asked Peter, "Why did you doubt?" When the disciples misperceived a point that the Lord Jesus is getting across to them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought it was because they hadn't taken bread to feed the crowds that had just been fed. Thousands of people who had just been fed miraculously. And they thought they were being scolded for not having had food to feed the people. And the Lord Jesus kind of chided them for not understanding the point that he was getting across. He wanted them to beware of the doctrine, the teachings, the false teachings that the Pharisees offered. Not any physical bread, that they would offer. When our thinking is wrong, our speaking is wrong, the Lord has a way of a tendency to correct us. Let's see if he corrects Abram's thinking with regards to his notion, Abram's contention that God had given him no children. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Remember, I shared with you, Abram knew he would have to have children, and particularly sons, in order to be made into a great nation, as God had promised. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Now notice this. All this conversation is taking place in the same vision which began with the statement, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. The vision has not ended. The vision is still in play. Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So many stars way up high. The challenge, if you can count them. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. He is still speaking to Abram in the same vision that began with the words, be not afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. The same vision. They're communicating with each other in that vision. Now, very often, how do visions occur? What takes place when a person is given a vision by God, other than the communication itself? Very often, that person's physical faculties, especially their sight, their natural sight, is suspended temporarily so that they're able to see in the spirit realm. Very often, when people have visions from God, they're wide awake. Wide awake. Let's talk about this some more in just a few.